Okay, let's begin. So we are in the middle.
Well, that time's like, oh, that's good.
Is it ours?
I'm sorry.
Okay, so we're winding down. We're up to Perek Yudalit, Erpa Mishuvah. So we started this pasuk on Friday. Perek Yudalit, pasuk Hey, is on page 204. Page 204, Erpa Mishuvah. Hashem says, I will heal you from your back sliding. The word Shuva. We the real word shuva, it's used most of the time in Tanakh. We discussed this in the past for in a negative form. Shuva normally is used in the form where Klal Yisrael is moving away from Hashem. When the pasuk says shuva Yisrael, it's really a play on the word. It's really a tease. Instead of going backwards and distancing yourself from Hashem by doing averos. Just the opposite. Why don't you try to come close to Hashem? We take it for granted. We always say, oh, he's a Baal Teshuvah. He's a Baal Teshuvah. We always, in our minds, the word Teshuvah is associated with coming close, return. You have strayed, return to Hashem. Just the opposite. Because it's natural to be close to Hashem. When a person is Teshuvah, it's the way it's used in Tanakh, it means he has gone away. He has distanced himself from Hashem. That's how it's used here in this pasuk. Hashem says, Erpa, I will heal you, mishuvasam, from your moving, your distancing away from Hashem. The way the real shuv, the shuv is really used to refer to someone who distances himself from Hashem. In Chazal, a Baal shuv is a person who... Hashiveinu Eilecha. So there, it's really a tease. It's a play on the word because since Eilecha, Hashiveinu Eilecha, it's only because it says Eilecha v'noshuva that spins the word from its simple meaning of distancing oneself from Hashem to no Eilecha. We're not going to go away. Adarabba, we're going to come close because we have to appreciate it's natural to be close to Hashem. It's unnatural to distance yourself from Hashem. This is the fundamental difference between Yadus and Christianity. In Christianity, you come into this world, you're going to one place only. You're going to perjury. You're going to Gehenna. That's the way, that is the theology of Christianity. You come into this world to go to suffer, to go to Gehenna. You need redemption. Go talk to any priest on the street. You need to do something in this world to redeem your soul.
Naturally good
or naturally bad? Naturally bad. Adam, Ra min Urav. This is their theology. Their theology.
The original sin.
Their theology is man has the original sin has caused that the pasuk says. That's what it says in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Kiyetzer Lev Adam, Ra min Urav. Man is naturally evil. And therefore, the consequence is he goes straight to Gehenna, whatever their belief of Gehenna is. And the purpose of being in this world is to redeem your soul, do a good deed, show love to your fellow man, and you'll redeem your soul, you'll merit to go to Olam Haba. Yados, this is apikursus to say such a thing. A person call Yisrael Yesh Lohem Chelek LaOlam Haba. You come into this world, you're going straight to Olam Haba. That's the biggest comfort.
So a child called Christianity, a child goes
That's right. That's right. That is correct. That is correct. A navel goes to Gehenna. That's right. A navel goes straight to Gehenna. He has not done anything to merit redemption. Absolutely. One of the big nechamas that Rachmana Litzlan, when a parent loses a child, and there's no nechama, let's not fool anyone. There is no nechama. But one of the things that they try at some point in time to lighten the burden of mourning in the mind of a person who went through such a horror is to recognize you brought a neshama to Olam Haba. By having a child, even a nafel, even a stillborn, you have accomplished something that is amazing because you brought, the only way a neshama can go to Olam Haba is by passing through this world, even doing nothing. Just coming to this world automatically, that soul merits Olam Haba. Now, of course, if you do Torah and Mitzvahs and you're good, then the quality and your standing in Olam Haba is greatly enhanced. But just to get a ticket in, you know, that itself is a major accomplishment. So it's natural to be close to Hashem. A person has to lose it. The way one loses it is by doing averos. So when he says shuva, What do you mean return? What do you mean return? You are close to Hashem. It's natural to be connected to Hashem. So Shuva means to move. Where have you moved? You've moved away from Hashem. And that is why, if you'll see, we see it's very common in Tanakh, the word Shuva is usually translated, it's usually defined in the context of the pasuk without any other modifiers, like in this pasuk, it means distancing oneself from Hashem, because that's what's not natural. It's natural to be close to Hashem. If you're on the move, you're moving away from Hashem. So, and that's what it says here, Erpa Hashem, I will heal you, mishuvasam, from your distancing yourself from Hashem. It's typically translated as backsliding. Yeah.
Yeah, well, backsliding is
shovavim,
which is...
Shuvu vanim shovavim.
Shovavim, which is similar to shuvasam.
And we take the word shuva and we twist it. So instead of going in this direction, go in the other direction. The real term for it, what we call a Baal Teshuva, is Choyzer Beshuva.
Right.
That's the real term.
That's
a person
who,
because that's what it really means. That they know Tanakh. So they call a person who's now returning to Hashem, he's Choyzer Beshuva. Not someone who's a Baal Teshuva, because a Baal Teshuva means a person who's a Baal Avera. A person who, which direction are you going in? A Baal Teshuva, a person who is doing Shuva. Shuva just means you're going in a direction.
So he distanced himself from the Neveiros.
From Avera. So Choyzer means he's returned. The word Choyzer modifies Teshuva to imply that you're going now in the right direction. You're going towards Hashem. Just to say a Baal Teshuva, that's a yeshivish expression. There's no such expression called the Baal Teshuva. Doesn't exist. We say that this is a colloquial expression. It doesn't make any sense to say you're a Baal Teshuva. It typically means you're a Baal Avera. Choyzer Beshuva means you're now, Yeshuva means you're going backwards. Choyzer is you're returning in the other direction. Instead of the Shuva being in this direction, you go 180 degrees in the correct direction.
That's what we
say. Hashiveinu Elecha.
No,
V'hachazireinu b'shuva shlema lifanecha. You have to add the modifier. If you don't add the modifier, then you are in trouble.
I'm going to ask a very alphabetical question. You say on copyright. What is the word pintle in Yiddish?
A pintle. What's a pintle in Yiddish?
That.
Pintle.
What does that mean in terms of what we're conversing?
Nothing. What does that mean? What it just means is there's a spark. Every person, every Jew has a spark of Yiddishkeit. You just have to ignite it. You got. There's no pilot light. There's nothing to talk about.
It's like iota.
A yud is the smallest ice, right?
So we say,
but if passes a safer tire.
If you don't have a kosher yud, the safer is possible.
So, no matter who you are, if you're a yid, that's your pintalini. Of course, you can build it up and make it a big flame. But
so does that fit in with what you're saying? You could be the Bali Chuva, or the worst all of that.
Well, that's a side issue. We're not discussing that. We're discussing when a person is in the process of doing teshuva after he has been awakened. There are Jews. There are unfortunately millions of Jews all over the world that know from nothing. They don't know from nothing. Most of them are ignorant. And if the right person would approach them and speak to them in a way that's appealing to them, it would ignite a spark which can change their lives. Look, that's what Lubavitch is all about. Partners in Torah. I mean, there are so many organizations, all different, the whole spectrum of trying to work on people who are Achenu Bnei Yisrael. These people, they're related to us. Some of them, you know, some of them have yichus that's just not imaginable who they come from. They come from the biggest gedolim that they come from. Some of these people, and it's very sad. It's very sad that they know from nothing, and not all of them are anti-religious. And even those who are anti-religious, it's just, you know, it's just they just get set off the wrong way. Everything has to be done in the right way to.
You brought up a certain way, you don't know better.
You know better, absolutely. You don't know better. Of course, who's there? Why are you to blame them? There's a very big machlok in America, an irreligious Jew. There are a lot of different questions we discuss when it comes to yayin nesach, yayin stam yenam. If an irreligious Jew touches wine that's not been cooked, are you allowed to drink the wine? If a guy touches wine that has not been cooked, an open bottle of wine, it's halach and shulchan aruch. It's called yayin nesach. Stam yenam, not yayin, I'm sorry. It's called stam yenam. We're mak, but even though b'zman hazeh there's no avodah zarah, and minig avos in the yodeim, there's no avodah zarah, that's the halach and shulchan aruch. It's the same thing. If a non-Jew touches a bottle of wine that is open, that has not been cooked, you're not allowed to drink that wine. Because it used to be, in ancient times, a non-Jew, when he would touch a bottle of wine, he would give it a little bit of a shake, and his kavana was, it should be l'shem avodah zarah, and the way you worship avodah zarah is by pouring wine before the god, so it becomes taktik reves avodas koichavim, becomes osur behano mamish, minat Torah. Bizman hazeh goyim are not. That's the last thing on their minds when they're going to take a bottle of wine that they're going to take and they're going to pour it before an idol. It's the last thing on the goy's mind to do that in our day and age. But that's the halacha. It's not osur min haTorah. It's a shulchan aruch called stam yenam. The halacha does not change, and the wine is forbidden. Question: what?
Intermarriage.
What does that do intermarriage?
Well, we allow them to open a bottle of wine.
One of the reasons.
Was that one of the reasons?
Oh, the reason for a non-Jew. Yes. No, a reason for a non-Jew, no, that's not the primary reason. That's why you're not allowed to drink bread, pas akum, and bishul akum. That those two, the intermarriage is the reason for those two halachas. And gvina sakum, cheese of a non-Jew, and bishul akum, and pas akum. There are other gvina, there are other reasons as well. But that the reason of intermarriage is applied, I think, to that case as well. You may not eat something that's been cooked by a non-Jew because it may lead to intermarriage.
Nothing to do with opening the bottle.
But wine has nothing to do with that. Wine, the primary reason why you're not allowed to let a non-Jew touch your wine is because in ancient times, the way they would serve their idols was to pour wine before the idol. It's bizarre to us. We do the same thing in the Sachem. We pour wine on the Mizbeach. But this was something that they have done as well. And there's a concern that they have...
Within the Catholic Church, they use wine as a ceremony.
It could be. I don't know.
That's Holy Communion, you said.
Even now they still do it.
Ketem Grange.
Yeah, we've discussed this before.
So the question is, when it comes to an irreligious Jew, if he touches the yayin, this is a very big debate. There's no clear-cut halacha. If an irreligious Jew touches wine that has yayin that's not cooked, is the wine forbidden? Just as if a non-Jew would have touched your bottle of wine. That's the question. And it's very, very, very relevant. It's very relevant because many times, let's say by a simcha, you have help. So sometimes you have a non-Jewish help, which is for sure a problem. And sometimes you do have help, but
why is the cooking make a difference?
Cooking, because then it's not fit for service. If you cook the wine, you ruin the quality of the wine, and a non-Jew wouldn't even think of using this wine for serving his God. And us as well, you're not allowed to use yayin mevushel to pour on the mizbeach. The wine has to be in its pure, pristine. Once it's been cooked, it's been damaged to a degree. And today, our wines anywhere are not such high quality that it really makes a difference for most of us. We've got to be a real connoisseur to taste the difference between yayin mevushel and yayin that's not mevushel. You have to really be from the elite. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody votes for it, that you cannot ask another religion Jew to do Melucha on Shabbos.
For sure that you cannot
do. So you consider him a Jew in that situation.
Exactly.
In
that sense, we consider him a Jew. But Yayin Esach, that's a different standard. It's not a clear thing. There are different levels. Each halacha has its set of rules.
Yep.
So this is a very big debate. And it used to be, I don't know where this thing changes over time. In America, the assumption is, yes, it's permitted. Because in America, you can't say about a Jew in America, they are anti-religious. Everyone, we're talking about non-Shomer Shabbos. Who else are we talking about?
So what's the story in a winery that
the end of a tour in a winery, like a lot of winery tours in Israel. At the end of the tour, they sit you down at a bar and they let you taste the wine. A lot of times they open the bottles. That person opening the bottle is obviously a Jew because they're in Israel. It's not an Arab. But you know, he may not be religious. Sometimes they don't even have a yarmulke on.
He may not, and that was the wine they're serving you, Yain Mevushel, or?
Well, it has the remedy. They're fine wine. That's what they're trying to sell you.
Wines, a lot of the fine wines are still Mevushel.
They are.
It's pasteurized.
Like they're not.
Yeah, okay. So it could be then that they are following the opinion of many Gedolei Yisrael who hold that a Jew, even in Eretz Yisrael, who touches wine, there's no problem. Now, in America, most of the places can say that to be true, because in America, you cannot say a Jew in America is anti-religious. Because every Jew in America who is not religious, it's purely due to ignorance.
So the fact that the guy's opening the Bible for me, he doesn't have a yarmulke on, I don't have to worry about it.
Generally not. Now, there are opinions, though, in Eretz Yisrael, I think of, I'm not sure, Yashiv, they were Machlir, who held that in Eretz Yisrael, you cannot say, in Eretz Yisrael, you don't know about Yavis. You don't know what Shabbos is. It's in the news every day. It's in the news. They're fighting. Everyone is fighting and fighting and fighting about every religious matter. So the person in Eretz Yisrael is not religious. It's a different. You can't give a clear answer because there is no clear answer. But the point is, the standards for Chutz Li'aretz are not the same standards for Eretz Yisrael, being that Eretz Yisrael is a much more intense country, the environment, and the average person knows a lot more. So someone who's not religious, there is an element that it may be by choice. Is that really true? It depends. You can't generalize. You can't generalize some more, some less. In America, the balance is obviously pushed further down the line because people are too busy in America making parnasa. They don't know this, that. It's not the same intensity. Okay, so let's go back over here to this person. Every mishuvasav, so that's the point where the mega mishuvasav normally means going backwards. And therefore, the correct expression is to be choizer b'shuva. And here Hashem says clear, Erpal, are you going? I'm going to heal you from your backsliding. Oy havei nidava. And Hashem, now there are two translations of this. Of these words. We learned last week in the Malbum, that it refers to us. Klal Yisrael is a nation who is generous. Mi ka'amcha Yisrael. Where do you find in any nation in the world organizations for every little thing you could possibly imagine? You have a flat tire, who do you call? Chaverim. You have an emergency, who do you call? Hatzala. You got a gun in your backyard, who do you call? Shomrim. Okay, you have a lost object? Okay, there's a website, you go, there's a place for Hashavas Aveda. It's amazing, it's unbelievable. Every possible chesed you can do, Mika Amcha Yisrael, we are a nation called Oy Haveim Nidava, those who love to be generous with their time and their money. Hashem says, I'm going to help you out. Being that you are a nation of chesed, you are a nation of Nidava, I will heal you from your weaknesses of backsliding. The last, in Shemona Esrei, we have okay, Avram, okay, Yitzchak, okay, Yaakov. Avram is chesed, Yitzchak is Din Avoda, and Yaakov is Emes Torah, but the bracha concludes Baruch Atah Hashem Morgain Avraham. The bracha concludes not Baruch Atah Hashem Morgain Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. It only concludes with Avraham, the Midah of Chesed. In the end of days, the Chasima, the end will come through the Midah of Chesed. Chesed, we're now living in the door of Chesed, and Hashem says you are a generation of Chesed, Oy Haveim, you people who love Nidava, therefore you're people of Chesed, therefore I'm going to help you out from your weaknesses and your deficiencies. Kishav api mimenu, my anger will shav, we use the word shav many, many times in these psukim, my anger will be withdrawn mimenu from you. Mimenu from you, it will be, and everything will be good. And we learn the Malmuth of a very beautiful parish is that when a person, this pasuk refers to doing teshuva me'ahava, and teshuva me'ahava, we merit Hashem's anger is removed instantly. We do not need to go through the four levels of teshuva. Either you need Yisurim, Yom Kippur, Misa, all different forms of teshuva. That's only true with regard to teshuva Miyira, this was the Chidah. Teshuva me'ahava. Hashem says, Kishav api mimenu. My anger will be withdrawn from him immediately when you do teshuva me'ahava. Now this is the way we translated the pasuk last week, but most of the commentators on this page are going to translate the word oyhave midava not as a description for Klal Yisrael, but rather as a description for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem is a being who loves to be gracious. Hashem is Oyhavim who loves to be Nidava and Nidivus Halev. This is the Ramchal. The Ramchal answers the age-old question, why did Hashem create this world? What is the purpose of coming into this world? What does Hashem need this for? And the answer is, Oylam Chesed Yibane. Hashem created this world to bestow goodness and kindness upon his creatures. Everything in this world that Hashem does for man is a blessing. Sometimes it's a blessing in disguise, and sometimes it's an open blessing. This is a very basic principle of Yadus.
Well, if he didn't create human beings, he wouldn't have to have the chesed for the human beings. Chicken and the egg.
Okay, but this is basic principle of Yadus, which Goyim don't get. They don't understand this. Christianity does not understand that the purpose of creation was that Hashem should bestow chesed oylam chesed yibana. They don't understand that principle. All religions. I'm not a bucky in the theology. But religion, you know, it's the most basic question. What are we here for? Why did Hashem create this world? Ramchal came to the rescue. He really had tremendous influence. I always thought I mentioned this to you. Probably one of the greatest people who had influence over our hashkafa, the way we walk around, the beliefs that are in our head, is the Ramchal. The Ramchal, the Mechaber of Moshe Chaim Leitzato, the one who wrote the Mesilas Yesharim. He was a genius beyond imagination, and he was very controversial in his lifetime. He was banned. He was thrown out of the community. His books were burnt. What we have left from him is a teeny, teeny fraction of what he wrote. Most of what he wrote was destroyed, was banned, because they were afraid of another Shabbosite. They were afraid of like a Shabbosite Tzvitam personality. They were afraid of him because he was too much to handle, and he ran away. You know what he did for Parnassa? He was an optometrist. Could you imagine? You go to him to buy a pair of glasses. He sits behind the counter. We need our fact checkers to give us the exact date. Fact checkers back there in the audience will give us the exact date of the Ramchal, but. The Ramchal, you learn the pasuk with Ramchal, Oyaveim Nidava is referring to Hashem. Hashem is a being who loves to bestow.
1700.
When was the Shabbosai Tzvi? 16. When was the Shabbosai Tzvi?
1600.
So this was, they thought he was the new Shabbosai Tzvi, the reincarnation of the Shabbosai Tzvi. And that's why they drove him out of town. He was a very great danger in the eyes of most of the Gedolei Yisrael. He was banned. You got to read the biography of him. It's just not to be believed.
Well, he dabbled in Kabbalah. He was a young guy.
And he was off the charts. He was really he was unbelievable. But at the end of the day, look what we have from him. We have probably every from person walking the streets, living in the whole world today, is influenced by his thinking without question. His approach to the purpose of the world creation, he revealed it in words. I mean, he has a lot of svarim, but in his svarim is where the ideas that we live with are presented with clarity. What did they do before this? I don't know. Before this time, the world lived with a very different hashkafa. They lived with a hashkafa of yira. We live in these days with a hashkafa where we focus on ahava, on love. We don't focus on fear. Fear doesn't work in this generation. You go tell a child, if you do A, B, C, D, you're going to go to Gehenna. You're going to throw you out of yeshiva, you go to Gehenna, and you're going to suffer, be beaten up, b'chulu, b'chulu. You tell that to a child today, that's it, he's gone. That's it, he's off the derech. So that doesn't work today. It doesn't work. Today, go with love. But years ago, that wasn't the derech. You didn't say to a person, "Oh, Hashem loves you." That wasn't obviously.
It was
wasn't
blind fear or blind love.
It was a different approach. It worked.
Nowadays it's more understanding.
Understanding. It's a different world today. It's a different approach. It worked in years ago, does not work today. And not just talking about like, especially in the big picture of things, you see clear, in earlier times, they had a very different approach to deal with life. We live today with the Ramchal, that Olam Chesed Yibaneh, Hashem is not out to get you in any way whatsoever. Hashem is out to help you, to do good for you. He loves you. And you have to be responsible. There's no such thing. There's no free ticket. Hashem is not mevater. Let's now see the Mefarshim and Pasuk in the Mitzudot Stavit. The Mitzudot Stavit, Pasuk Erpa Hashem, where it's on page 204. Erpa Mishuv Asam, Kasha Yoimu Kain. Now he's going back, when the Mitzudot is Lishit Hosoi, he's so going back to the previous Pasuk. Hashem, the Navi says to Klal Yisrael, I want you to say the words, repeat after me. I'm telling you the words like under the chuppah. Repeat after me. Hare at mikudeshes ashur. We say the words ashur lo yoshienu al sus. The previous pasuk al sus lo nirkov. Ashur is not going to save us. The horse, we're not going to ride on horses. V'lo noymar oid elokeinu lamasa yodenu asher b'cha. You Hashem are the one who yirucham yosam. Orphans will find compassion. If you'll say these words, just one pasuk, all you have to do is say this one pasuk. Say it 1,000 times. Okay, that was Rav Shul Salanta's chiddush. Say it, OCD, say it again and again and again and again and again. Maybe it'll sink into your head if you'll say it many, many times. If you'll say those words, then Hashem says, I will enter into the picture and I will help you. Erpa Mishuva Sam. I will heal you from your backsliding. Back to the Mitzvah, Kasher Yoim Rukein, when you say the previous Pasuk, Ozden, Eslach, I will forgive, Al Mashe Holchu B'derech Shoivav, Umordu Bi, I will forgive you for this that you have gone backwards and have rebelled against me. Now here are the next words, Oy Havem Nidava. Who are these two words describing? Is it describing Klal Yisrael, or is it describing Hashem? Who is the subject of these two words? The Oz Ehav Oysam Benedivas Libi is describing Hashem. That's how he learns. Libi Av She'enam Ru'uyim El Ho'ahava. Then I will love them, even though they're not deserving of being loved. Ki Havidui Dai L'Hasir Ho'eva. It's sufficient to recite Vidui. Reciting Vidui is good enough. V'loy L'Havi to remove the Eva. But v'lo lohavi ahava, but not to bring ahava. Now he's saying over here something. What is he saying? I don't even know what he's saying over here. Is there's still no love? He's saying over here something very, very, very profound, very deep. When we say vidui, all that accomplishes, according to this pasuk, is it removes Hashem's enmity towards us. It does not bring love for us, because the pasuk says, I Hashem love them, I have em nidava, and thus, because in the previous pasuk you have expressed vidui, you have confessed, what I'm going to do for you is kishov api mimenu. I will no longer be angry at you. I will withdraw my anger. But the pasuk does not say I will love you. Vidui only in this pasuk accomplishes the removal of Eva, the removal of Hashem's anger, his enmity towards us. But it's not sufficient to bring love.
Goes to point zero.
Correct, point zero. Ki only ki shav api menu. Okay, let's see. It
brings love, but not because you deserve it.
No, it doesn't even bring love. He's saying it doesn't even. Well, okay, so the next part is Kishov Abimenu Vitishor Imkena Avon Harishoina. We'll go back to the original love. It's not going to bring a new love. It's not going to bring a new, but Hashem will take back the Vida, will remove Hashem's anger, and Mimela, automatically, the old love will be restored. Okay, it does not say that it's going to bring upon Klal Yisrael a new degree of love. Let's see Rashi, Pasik, Hey, Erba Mishuvasam, Omar Hanavi. Kach amali ruach hakodesh. So did Hashem say to me. Notice this is a contradiction. You see this, Rav Chol, what a contradiction we have over here. The Navi says so. Amar ruach hakodesh and nevu are not the same thing. Ruach hakodesh is kisuvim. There's a difference between sifrei neviim and sifrei kisuvim. A Navi is someone who gives over prophecy, nevuah, and someone who writes a book in the Sifrei Kisuvim, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, even Tehillim, and all the Svarim of Megillas Esther was not written with prophecy. It was written with something called Ruach HaKodesh. What's the difference? I don't know. Okay, we don't know. But these are very fine points. The difference, but it's a much higher level. Prophecy is a much higher level. So here the Navi is saying, this is what the Ruach HaKodesh told me.
The difference is in the form of communication.
Okay, that's another difference.
Directness or indirectness.
Okay, right, it's another. But there's two different ideas. One is Ruach HaKodesh, one is Navi over here. It's a very interesting Rashi. What is Rashi trying to do over here? Why does Rashi have to even say this all together? Obviously, there's something over here much too between the lines. Okay, we'll leave with what it says over here. It's an interesting point. The Navi says, Kach Amali Ruach HaKodesh. A Navi also has Ruach HaKodesh. It's not just Nevuah. He also has Ruach HaKodesh. Me'achar Sheyoymu Lefonai Kein. After you recite Pasuk, the previous Pasuk Dalet, then Erpa Mishuvasan, I will assist, I will enter into the picture, and I will provide assistance to a healing from your backsliding. Now, look at what Rashi does over here. He adds a vav into the pasuk. Ohaveim, I will love them. It obviously makes the pasuk flow so much better. And I will inject, now that you have done teshuva, I will love them, bin divas ruchi, with my spirit of generosity. Afal pi she'enon ru'uyin la'ava, even though they're not deserving, es nadev. That's why it says the word nidava. A nidava is an undeserved gift. So the love Hashem will show for us is undeserved, but being that we have confessed, it's sufficient. Because my anger has been withdrawn, so now the mimela, there will be love. It's similar to the mitzudos, not exactly. You can splitting hairs to find the difference between the two. We'll leave it with that. Let's see the Radak. Radak pasuk hey, erpa mishuva son, the imatem tasu kain, going back to the previous pasuk, he will confess, he will recite vidui, then, hu yane eschem, he will answer you, ale arucha, I will bring up healing. The word arucha means refuah, it's another word for healing, umarpe, what?
Arucha
umarpe, so it's over here, arucha umarpe, healing, Lim shuvasam, to their backsliding, ulim mirdam, and their rebellion, shemar dubi, they rebelled against me, arat, until this point in time, ahavim nidava, e'ehavim, I will love them, ahava, ahavas nidava milev tov, and the love of generosity, ki api, shahili olav shav mimen, the anger that I had upon him has been removed, kevan shuhu shav b'shuva ilah, he has done shuv, yibolosh rabim, al derech prat, this is a general rule over here. That is a mixing of the tenses. Okay, that's very common. Mimenu is plural, and shav. Okay, what's the okay? Let's leave with that. I'm not too good at this. Let's leave with that. Let's take a look at the Malbum. The Malbum. Pasuk Hey, Erpa Hashem Meishav Lohem Ani Erpa Tchila on page 205. In the Malbum, in the Geichi Zoyoim. The Biru Inyan, Erpa Hashem Eshav Lohem, Ani Erpa Tehila Es Mishuvasam, Midameh HaShoivus Shalohem, Kimako Devuka Bam. Hashem said, the Pasuk is comparing their backsliding to an illness. Okay, a mental illness. Mental illness, a person who rebels against Hashem. The Erpa Es HaMako, I will heal this wound. Sha'ali Dei HaTeshuva Ye Rafu Mimakosam, they will be healed, therapy. You'll go for therapy, I'll be a therapist, Hashem says. Lie down on my couch, I'll have a talk with you, I'll convince you that you should repent. The achar ze, oyavim nidava, oshuv lahava, yisam al love them, shlo levad, she'es lochem es ho'ava. Not only will I return to them what the love I had in the past, ki ehav oyisam, that I love them in the past, but I will love them even more. V'ze ehse mitzad nidva slave. Achar Api Mimenu Hainu Min Mishuvasam from their backsliding, until this point I was angry because they were rebelling against me, they were going in the wrong direction, the al yidei sheyoshuv api, now that I am no longer angry at them, I will love them once again. Now if you notice, between the lines, obviously there's a difference between the Malbim Rashi and the Mitzudos, as is Hashem going to give us a new love? Will the love be expanded? The Mitzudos clearly says no. The Mitzudos clearly says that the Vidu that we are doing here is only sufficient to restore the old love. But don't expect anything new. Malbim and Rashi seemingly disagree. They seem to say is that when you do vidui, not only will the old love be restored, there will be a new dosage of love. The love will intensify to a new level, to a new degree. That's what it means, the nidava. Nidava means a gift. I'll give you a gift of new love. Mitsudo says, no, it's not going to be a new love. The new love, it's kishav api mendo. The most you can accomplish, the love that I will have for you will accomplish that it will remove the anger. And what will then be restored? The old love. But don't expect me to be more kind and more gracious to you now than I was to you in the past.
I thought it meant that the anger will be neutralized, but then there won't be a lot of love at all. Because that's as far as it would go.
Right.
Because before there was anger and hatred, and now it's just
it'll be civil. Neutral. Be civil. You have a fight with someone. You used to be very, very good friends. So very, very common. You have a very good friend. You get into a very big, bitter fight. And then you make up. It's not the same. It's never the same. It's not the same. So that's obviously the big debate here. You see, it's very true. That's the big debate. You have to read between the lines between Rashi and Mitzudos. All the Mefarshim is that we had a very bitter fight. We rebelled against Hashem. Hashem is angry at us. So now when we do tshuva, what could we expect? Could we expect that Hashem Baruch Hu should love us like originally? Even that? Forget about it more. Like the way it was originally. So it seems everyone agrees that to that degree Hashem will restore the love. At least to the degree that it was originally, Hashem is willing to completely overlook our sins. Let's look at the Likutei Shas. Okay, finish up this pasuk. Likutei Shas. Erpa Mishuvasam. Okay, there's a whole bunch of things here on this pasuk, but some of them are relevant to us than others, so we'll run through them quickly. Omar. On the very bottom page, 205 on the bottom, Omar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, Gedola Teshuva Shemivia Rif Uslo Oilam. Shenemar Erpa Mishuvasam Oyavim Nidova. It's an incredible thing that when there's Teshuva in this world, there is Rifuah. If you want to invest in the pharmaceutical industry, so you have to split your money. If you have $1 million to invest, so how are you going to succeed? 50% of the money you allocate to the Baal Tshuva movement, and 50% you give to the pharmaceuticals. So the 50% you give to the Baal Tshuva movement, when they do Tshuva, there's going to be siyata deshmaya in the pharmaceutical industry for them to come up with new medicines that will be successful. That's what it says. It's toluy zeh bezeh. It's two sides of the coin. That's a very powerful, deep concept. Everything natural in Teva, or that happens in this world in the material form, is just a reflection of what's taking place in this world in the spiritual realm. And when you see in this world shalom in this world, so you have to recognize that there's a ribuy of Talmidei Chachamim. Talmidei Chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam. Now what does that mean? So on a very simple level, it means that there are Talmidei Chachamim which They are real Talmidei Chachamim, and when they speak to people, they know how to make peace. They themselves are involved in making peace between husband and wife, and between Adam and Chaveroi, v'chulu v'chulu. You have a problem, you have a very good rabbi, and there's a fight in the shul, a rabbi who is a true Talmud Chacham. The Chachma that he derives from the Torah, plus the Siyata, the Shmaya that he has by learning Torah, gives him talent that he's able to bring peace among Balabatim who are not at peace with one another. But it's much deeper than that. There's a trickle-down effect. If there is a ribuy of Talmidei Chacham in the world, somehow, some way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends down to this world a shefa, an abundance an influence among the world, among the Goyim, that they should make peace among each other and not kill each other. I mean, look what happened with last week with Trump and North Korea. I mean, what is going on? Why all of a sudden now? All of a sudden, just a year ago, he called him the little rocket man. Okay, the most insulting things you can possibly say in the UN in front of the whole world. He could little rocket the whole, all, you know, in America, we're used to Trump. I told you this many times. We're used to him. We know what Trump is all about. So when he says little rocket man, we just chuckle. But the Umos Olam, they don't know English. They don't know English. So they don't really understand Trump. They don't understand, because they don't understand his language. So they just think. They don't understand. So when the United Nations, when he gets up and everyone is sitting there, every single nation, and 95% of them don't know a word of English, and they have interpreters translating for them with their earphones, and he says, little rocket man. And the interpreters translate the word little rocket man to all the heads, all the ambassadors. You have to look at the videotape of their reaction. Why? Who is little rocket man? And now there's Sholoy. Now they go, I respect him and I believe in him and this and that, all these words, and they're shaking hands. What it'll lead to, who knows? But it's fascinating. It's just fascinating. So now I'm trying to bring out this point, is that where does it come from? So I don't know how this world works, but Chazal do say Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. If there are today, does this indicate that there is a ribuy of Talmidei Chachamim, real Talmidei Chacham who learn Torah Lishma? You don't know about them, because the ones that are real the people who are Lishma, they're not looking to be in the newspapers. Okay, they're private people. But when there's a ribuy of Talmidei Chachamim, it brings min hashamayim an abundance of goodwill in this world that there should be shalom. The same thing when it comes to refuah. If Klal Yisrael is in a state of doing teshuvah, this pasuk says the parallel in the physical world is Hashem sends down the shefa of medicine, of diseases that were had no cure. All of a sudden, there's a cure. It's an amazing thing. So we're living in a generation where there's no. I'm taking it to an extreme. You're right. I'm taking it to an extreme. I'm saying it to an extreme is that there is a parallel between doing teshuva, just like Chazal say, there is a parallel between Talmidei Chachamim and Shalom. Chazal here are saying there is a parallel between teshuva and refuah. We're living in a time now where there's never been so many Baalei Teshuva. This is a reality. The Baal Teshuva movement is at its height all over the world. Every organization, whether it's Lubavitch, whether it's every organization you can possibly imagine, there's a very big, powerful hashpa of Teshuva in this world to come back to Hashem. And it's not a coincidence that Baruch Hashem, medicine, is also advancing at a very nice pace. That there are things today that they can do that years ago were unheard of. Unheard of. Things today, the technology is advancing, Baruch Hashem and Halavai Vaiter, all the way where no one should be sick. But there is a parallel between these two, and on a personal level. Okay, you want to go to a personal level, the person, Rahman al-Islam, has an issue, a health issue. So Chazal are giving you a secret. Okay, these are like what you call segulas. But Chazal are telling you, so if doing teshuva can create a koyach of refuah. So he has to do teshuva also. He also has to do teshuva. You know what it says in the pasuk? Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. Rabbi Akiva, what did he darshan on this pasuk? As Hashem, you should fear Hashem. That not only do you fear Hashem, the average person should have fear of a Talmud Chacham. As l'rabbis Talmidei Chachamim, right? But there's a joke. It's not a joke. It's a joke, but it's not a joke. As l'rabbis Talmidei Chachamim, the Talmidei Chachamim also have to fear Hashem. You hear the word? Sometimes Talmidei Chachamim think, oh, I'm already in the newspaper. I already sit on the dais. So Mela, I'm done. I no longer have to fear Hashem. I can do whatever I want now. I made it. I made it to the top. I'm on the Moetzes. I'm all the way here. I'm on the top. So now I don't have to fear Hashem. What?
The centerfold of the
I'm the centerfold of the Ated. I'm on the Gedolim. They're selling me in Eichler's. You walk into Eichler's, I'm for sale. Beautiful portrait of me. $100 to buy my portrait. So I no longer have to fear Hashem. I'm done. I made it to the top. No. Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. Not only does the common man have to fear Hashem. Es L'Rabba is Talmidei Chacham. Even if they're selling your portrait in the Eichler's for $1,000, you also have to fear Hashem. So just because if a Gadol Hador has a problem, he also has to do teshuva. No one gets a free lunch except you come here for $1.25, you get a free lunch. But otherwise, there's no exception. Further, so this is a very fascinating insight from the Malbim to appreciate this idea that with teshuva comes refuah. It's a good investment. Good investment to invest in refuah sa nefesh, refuah sa guf. That's why you say the nusa. This is where the nusa comes from. Refuah sa nefesh, refuah sa guf. There has to be teshuva. The shuva assists in the healing. Ani er patchilas meshuvasam. We're going further over here in the Malbim. The Chazal. On the bottom. These two concepts are linked. Amazing idea. Next, Tanya, three lines down, 205. If even one person does teshuva sincerely, Hashem will forgive the entire world. How do you know that? Shnemar, erpa mishuvasam oyavim nedava, kishav api mimenu, from him. That's what the Radak. Now I understand the Radak. The word mimenu is beloshon yochid. Yochid. So this pasuk is not grammatically sound. The pasuk says, it says mishuvasam. We start off beloshon rabin. If you were writing the sentence in high school, you would get an F. Yet Hashem gets a pass. How come Hashem gets an A for the course and we get an F if we would write this pasuk? Because Hashem has the right. We're mixing the tenses. You're going from Lashon Rabim to Lashon Yochid. Why? It's a drasha. To teach you, even if only one, Hashem says, I'm going to help you do teshuva. Are there any takers? One person raises his hand, yes, I'm willing to do teshuva. Help me. And Hashem helps him. And he does teshuva shlema. Hashem says, mission accomplished. It was worth it just for that one person. That one person, the whole world is forgiven. Mehem lo yinemem mimenu, even one person. I remember I had a Rebbe in the Chaim, they had an Iranian program. They spent, the Chaim Berlin, years ago, they spent a fortune. They invested an enormous amount of money helping out the Iranians. And that was a time when they a lot of them got out of Iran. And they had a whole program for them, a whole Rebbe, a whole division just for them. And I don't know the details, but it seems that not all of them were successful. It was a very big change. It was a very, very hard transition to go from where they came from to
a cultural change.
Everything. The whole thing was a very big transition. And even though they tried very hard, they invested a lot of money, it didn't work out for everyone. But there was one boy who became a very, very big Mitzuyan. Became a Talmud Chacham, a very, very big. So I remember Rav Chaim Siegel said the whole program, with all the Agmas Nefesh we had, and all the problems, and all the fundraising, and all this, it was Kedai just for this one person. This one fellow can come out, we can produce such a person, it was all worth it. The whole thing was worth it. That's what Hashem says. I'm going to help you do teshuva. Even if just one person does teshuva, the whole thing was worth it. That's what it says, Feresh and Chazal.
So let me ask you a question. You're going to say that even our times, one person is not doing teshuva. Then if Ramey is right, then everything, all the rest of the world, call him Kula, it's his wife, not just.
Right. So I'm going to
feel. Is it factually, it is like this?
Yeah. Hashem says, Erpa, that's what it says. If one person does teshuvah, moichlin l'chol ha'olam kuloi.
And all the great rabbis, all the great tzaddikim, one must assume at least one of them.
So we do not know what would be if they did not do teshuvah. We're living with miracles. The fact that this country is still functioning, the fact that we're still alive, and then we've gotten to this point, we don't realize the open miracles. We're blind to see open miracles are happening around us everywhere in the whole world. So why do we have, what's chus? Who's chus this in?
Oh, the virus of the world?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do we need a Yom Kippur for? What do we need all
the... There are many levels. The world is not black and white. There are billions of dimensions and levels. But you can't deny the fact that if one person accomplishes something very, very great, he protects many people who otherwise don't even know how much danger they're in, and they got by, they survived, they're healthy, they have children, they have parnasa. But who's chus?
I'm reading where Meir from Shuta, exactly what it
says. Moichlin does not mean black and white, the whole world. It doesn't mean going back to Odom Harishon Kodem Achet. It means a significant degree. But there's more. There's always more. There's always. You can go deeper. After Yom Kippur, the first thing you do is V'hu Racham Yechaper Avoin. After a whole day Yom Kippur, after Elul, Aser Yimei Tshuva, Gamos comes to Ma'ariv. Before you begin Ma'ariv, okay? V'hu Racham. You don't clap. Who told you that? Where did you hear that? Who says that? I never heard that.
There's
such a minig not to clap the first slach lanu.
Yeah.
Okay, this is new to me. I gotta try it. But I don't know. You say the words. Look, before you begin, what do you say? V'hu rachum yechaper avoin. What? We just finished. What?
Doesn't say for me.
For who?
The Rebbe Shlomo is a rabbi.
There, just because Yom Kippur is over.
I mean, if you're sitting in a shul, I'm sure there's some people there who didn't have the right kavanah.
The Itzumai Shel Yom is mechaper. I hear, but Mr. Rapport, obviously, there's more. There's always more. There's always more you can do. You never
say,
as long as a person's alive, there's more you can accomplish. Next Chazal. Okay, next Chazal. Let's go through very quickly. Okay, no. The idea is critical. The idea here is critical. The actual words we have to run very quickly, and that is, right over here, this Chazal is breaking it to us that Rabbi Yisai, we're just about now ready to finish Sefer Hoshea. We're here at the end. This is the wind down. Erpa Mishuvasam, this Chazal reveals to us, is the finale. Okay, this is the grand finale. That's what this Chazal is teaching us. And he's explaining to us why is all of a sudden Hoshea so generous. This is the last part. These are the last psukim. And from here on in, it's all, wow, such beautiful things. Hoshea was not the biggest fan of Klal Yisrael. In fact, Chazal say, from all of the prophets, he was the harshest. No one said such nasty things about the Jewish people like Hoshea. And therefore, now, Zeh l'umazeh, he has to make it up to us. If he said the nastiest things, it is his duty to give us the biggest barachas. And that's what these psukim are. These are the biggest blessings in Tanakh. And has to be, because he was the one who said the nastiest things about us. Shabbat Shuvah. Exactly. So let's see how the Chazal word this idea. He starts with an example. Moshe also was pretty critical. Moshe also said some nasty things, but not as nasty as Hoshea. Lefi she'am alohem Moshe l'Yisrael dvarim koshim tichila. For example, mizei rav, pangs of hunger, ulchume reshef, wars of demons. Okay, have I translated that correctly, Ramachol? Mizei means spasms. And the first wide line of the Likutei Shas on page 205. Mizei means spasms of anger. And Luchume means battles of Reshef. Reshef is a demon. demons are waging war against us. This is serious stuff. A person doesn't want to, this is a teichacha, this is part of the teichacha. A person is not interested in being hungry, that's for sure. Okay, you don't enjoy, no one here enjoys a fast day. And when the demons are attacking, it's not a very pleasant experience. Another curse of Moshe Rabbeinu. Outside, there are swords. It's dangerous to go outside. You might be killed. And inside, it's even worse. You're stricken by terror when you're indoors. Another curse. In Chorev, you have angered Hashem. Another nasty expression about Klal Yisrael. Mamrim hayisem, you are rebellious people. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu, over here, the Chazal, they selected some of the nastiest comments of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe is in trouble. How can you speak Lashon Hara? How can you say something not nice about Klal Yisrael? So what is Moshe, what is he obligated to do? He has to make it up. How did Moshe Rabbeinu make it up? Chozar v'amorem divrei nichumim, words of comfort. V'zois habrocha asher berach Moshe. Oh, so from this pattern, all of the prophets learned. Umimenu lamdu kol neviim shahayu emrim lachem lishol dvarim kashim techila. V'chayishim v'yayimrim, and then they would say to Klal Yisrael, beautiful words of Nechama. V'yayimrim divrei Nechama, Nechama. It's v'ein lecha b'chol. Now here is the critical words. Okay, we're now coming to the end, and this is critical what he says, the Chazal say. V'ein, we learned this before, actually, we had this ready, we repeated this Chazal many times now in the Shir, in the learning Hosea. The aim lecha b'chol ha-nevim shahayu dvarav kashim ki ha-shea. He was the worst. Nastiest things that were bestowed upon us came from Hosea. What did he say? Techilas dvarav amal ha-mo. It was the first thing he said about the Jewish people. Tein lechem Hashem matitein. Give them what they deserve. And what is that? Tein lohem rechem maskil v'shadayim tzayim kim. Okay, that's the biggest curse. They should not have children. Their children shall die stillborns, or they should not have children. And if they do have children, they should not. They should starve to death. I mean, it does not get worse than that. This is the ultimate curse. Ultimate curse is to tell a person you shouldn't have children, and if you have a child, the child should die. Should die of starvation immediately. The wife should not be able to nurse, and the baby should die. So he was the worst. So therefore he has no choice but to say what he says now. Chazar v'am Elohem nechamais. And that's the next pasuk. Pasuk Parutupsuk on the page. You see, Yelchu Yoin Kaisaf. May their little children, may they blossom. Just the opposite. He's giving a bracha that not only should you have children, your children should be successful. They should be healthy and successful.
That it gives them initially, which is very harsh, and that comes from Hashem. Does that mean that what he's doing now is on his own because he learned from Moshe?
Well, it's not only from Hashem. Obviously, it's a combination. Hashem, a Navi, we don't really know, it's hard for us to appreciate what Navi is, we have no clue. But it does appear that a Navi injects his own feelings into Hashem's prophecy. He takes a prophecy that comes into his mind, and he embellishes it with his own personality, with his own sensitivities. So if he is harsh, it's his fault. He's got a problem. Hashem didn't tell you to be so harsh. Hashem gave you a new prophecy. You can embellish and express it as you choose. So each to each his own. If you have not worked on your midos, you didn't learn enough Musar, obviously you're gonna take it the wrong way and you're going to express it the wrong way. Hosea was a tough guy. He didn't take fools lightly. And he was very harsh in transmitting the nevuah of Hashem to Klal Yisrael. Therefore, he has a duty and obligation to give bracha. Now, when he gives bracha, he also has a license. Hashem is saying, okay, give them a bracha. And he has a license to embellish the bracha with his own personality. And Hashem will do so. Hashem will accept his bracha and give that bracha. So look at the trade-off. The trade-off is we get the ultimate brachas. That's the whole story of life. Everything in life is trade-offs. It's always a trade-off. There's no such thing as having everything. When it's good here, it's no good there. Life is like a short tablecloth. If it's good on one side, it's not good on the other side. If you want to pull on the other side, then on this side it's exposed. No one in life has a full-size tablecloth. It doesn't exist. It's a bit serious. You see someone that has something that, wow. You can be certain you have things that he doesn't have. Be happy with what you have. He doesn't have what you have, and you don't have what he has. That's the way Hashem made this world. No one has everything. It doesn't exist. And even the people you think that it exists, they probably have it a lot worse than you can possibly imagine. We all know that to be true. When you get insight, it takes years. I've seen my people that I thought learned things about people. Just shocking what they're going, years ago, what I thought about them, and I realize now I learned things about them. Wow, they were going through at that point in time in their life, all the difficulties that I can't hold up a candle to what they were doing in that time in their life. And at that, and years ago, and that time I thought, wow, they had it all. And they didn't have it all. So you could never judge. And here you have the trade-off. Hosea is the trade-off, the ultimate toichacha. Okay, the ultimate toichacha, but the trade-off is the ultimate bracha. He's the one who gives the ultimate bracha. Not everyone can handle the ultimate toichacha. And if you can't handle the ultimate toichacha, then you're not going to be able to get the ultimate bracha. That's life. These brachas, may your children, may they go, may they succeed. They should be like a zayis. Zayis refers over here. They'll see the beautiful targum tomorrow. The targum says that they should have lichtekeit, to light up like the menorah. The menorah will glow with shem and zayis. Their splendor. We're going to read that psalm pasuk soon. You should merit to sit in the shade of Hashem. Yichayu dogon, may you be blessed with grain, parnasa, v'yifritu kaget gofen, you should blossom like a vine. The oimer, and here's another pasuk that we're starting over here, that's our pasuk over here, erpa mishu v'asam oyavim nedava, Hashem says, I'm going to heal you, I'm going to help you, I'm going to help you from your backsliding, I'm going to inject into this world the movement of truth. We're living now in this time, a mamish living in this tekufa, of the baal teshuv, there's a ruach of doing teshuva, of coming back to Hashem. It's only coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eye Ketali Yisrael. We'll see tomorrow all the symbolism, the Tal. There's a lot of symbolism in Tal Yisrael. The favorite thing that I like about Tal, you know what I like about Tal? The favorite word I told my father, he loved this. My father, the old Jewish man, says, Tal is the opposite of Lamites. What is Lamites? The Lamites Malachas. It represents hard slave labor. The world was created with, Hashem created the world with Lamed Tes Melachis. On Shabbos, there are 39 categories of labor which we are not allowed to engage in on Shabbos. Why 39 categories of labor? Because these 39 categories of labor were used to build the Mishkan. The Gemara gives two reasons. To build the Mishkan. When they built the Mishkan, there were 39 categories of labor that were used to build the Mishkan. And Hashem made the world, it parallels the world. Also, that's very hard to understand how you find in the creation 39 categories of labor. That's a real mystery, but maybe there are some that figure this out. You read the psukim very carefully, you can figure this out. There are 39 categories of labor. So the number 39 represents the concept of working, of doing melacha. Sheshes yomim tavoid. You have to work for 6 days to make a parnasa. Who doesn't have the oil parnasa? No one's free from working and from the daigis of coming up with the money to pay the bills. The old parnasa is something very real. That's lamites melachas. Tal is you take those two letters and you turn up, you invert it all the way around, which means you don't have to work. Shabbos. Parnasa is provided for you. When you take the letters, it's a drush, it's machshava. When you take lamites melachas and you turn it around, it's the inverse. It means Hashem says, I will provide you with parnasa. I want you to engage in Torah, in mitzvahs, davening. I want you to spend your day serving Hashem to the best of your ability. Parnasa, you're on my payroll. The mon was given with tal. There was tal lemata, tal lemala, a sandwich of tal. Why was there a sandwich of tal? What is the mon? The mon is the opposite of lamites. Lamites means you go into Eretz Yisrael. You go into Eretz Yisrael, you work. You work hard. You work to make parnasa. You work lamites melacha. Sheshes yamim ta'avoid. Shabbos, you don't do melacha. You rest. What is resting? Take the lamites, turn and shut it down. Shut down the system. The way you shut is you invert it. That's Tal. Mulmon Tal is a bracha. It always comes down to the swirl, whether we like it or not. It's not Geshem, we have to be Mispalo. Tal is automatic, Gesundheit. The mon was sandwiched in Tal. Here it says, Ehye Kital Li Yisrael. I will always take care of you. You'll always have what to eat. You'll always have a place to live, shelter. It's going to be Tal. You're on my payroll. I'm going to support you. What a bracha. Okay, that's a bracha for Yimos HaMashiach. Who gave us that bracha? Who gave us that bracha? Who would you think? Hosea. Hosea. Gesundheit. I said in advance. Who gave us that bracha? The one that you would least expect. The one that was the most critical. The one who gave us the words klolos. He gave us that bracha. Ze l'uma ze. Eye ketal li Yisrael. Okay, let's finish up the puzzle over here. Yifrach kasha yeshana, you'll blast like a shoshana. Okay, so that concludes the pasuk. We conclude pasuk tomorrow on to pasuk vav.